The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, I want to share with you this morning, I'm going to continue this series that I've been talking about. Passing the mantle was part of it, and receiving the mantle is what I talked about last week. And of course, a mantle, it was a cloak that the prophet had. It was an outerwear, a coat, a covering. It was made of some kind of fine material, fur or a really fine, very nice material of some sort. But throwing a prophet's cloak on an individual was the passing of the anointing and the power of that prophet. And we looked at how Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha, and Elisha immediately knew that God was calling him to be the next prophet in Israel, one of the next prophets. I mean, God had many other prophets throughout the land during that time, but he knew that he was being called. And it's very important that each and every one of us recognize that God, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're being called. We have been equipped. We have been given gifts and talents in order to fulfill the calling that God has in our life. And not everybody is called to be in one of the fivefold pulpit ministries. We are called to do various things in the body of Christ, and not only in the body of Christ, but outside of the body of Christ. You know, people are called to be entrepreneurs, to be business people, to be able to accomplish great things in the business world. People are called to work in a factory so that they can touch and minister to individuals in that place. If you're not there, maybe those people are never going to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to live it. You've got to walk it. It's extremely important that each and every one of us realize that our daily walk with Jesus Christ impacts people's lives. Amen? All right. Ministry, a person or thing through which something is accomplished. Minister is a diplomatic representative, an ambassador. And according to the Word of God, each and every one of us is an ambassador for the kingdom of God. We looked at the fact that Elijah was given some responsibility and how important it is for us to recognize that the power of God goes with us wherever we go. No matter where you are, what you're doing, God wants to use you to impact somebody's life. And it's important that Christians understand that their demeanor and their attitude is extremely important. Whatever you're doing, wherever you go, if you're in the workplace, other people are looking at you. Other people are checking you out. They want to see, does this life in Christ really make a difference in a person's life? And I'm sorry to say, many Christians go around looking like they've been sucking on sour pickles. Really? Right? Isn't that true? But there was a television program that ran for more than 20 years. Some of you will remember it. I used to sit around with my family and watch it on Saturday night. Hee-haw. Everybody in here remember Hee-haw? Maybe you've seen some reruns, at least. Hee-haw. Well, I got to say that there were some parts of Hee-haw that were not very appropriate. But now looking back at it. One of the things that they would have on that program is every night there was three or four guys that would sing a crazy song. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it were not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. If we're not careful, that's the way we go around and we present Christ to the world. It's gloom, despair,
Come on. The world is looking for answers. And the truth is, we do have answers. We may be going through some things in our life, and I'm not trying to tell you to pretend like nothing ever goes wrong, because things do go wrong in our life. We do have to deal with stuff. We have to deal with problems with our children. We have to deal with sickness and disease. We have to deal with financial issues sometimes. We have all kinds of problems. We have marriage problems that have to be dealt with, issues. But listen, there are answers for every one of those things in Christ. I don't mean that you just speak the name of Jesus and it all goes away. His name's not magic. But the power of God is in His Word. And if we will line up our lives with His Word, we will see how that life or that Word impacts our life and changes us, gives us a new direction, a new destiny, a new opportunity. So it is extremely important that we recognize that our merry heart is like a medicine. It does good. So we should walk around with a merry heart. I don't mean that you have to act like a fool, okay? Please don't think that that's what I'm saying. But we do have a reason to rejoice. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been given all that we need for this life and godliness. Amen? All right. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. That's where we left off. And we read down through this. Let me just go ahead and read this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Chapter 19, verse 1. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, we know that Elijah had just had a great victory. For those of you who are not there, we talked about the great victory that Elijah had had on Mount Carmel. He called down fire from heaven in front of all the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal couldn't do it. They cut themselves. They cried. They whined. They yelled. They did everything that they thought that would make their God move on their behalf, and nothing happens. And Elijah had stepped back and watched God work. And he spoke, and fire came down from heaven. Not only did it consume the sacrifice, but according to the word of God, it licked up all the water that they poured on the sacrifice. Barrels and barrels of water. They even made a ditch around. It dried up all the water. And it was a great victory, and because of that great victory, they took the prophets of Baal and they killed every one of them and got them and put them away, got them out of the land. And all the people were on Elijah's side. And then Jezebel, the queen, found out about it. Her husband, Ahab, went and tattletaled, told her all about it. And when she found out, she sent one lone messenger to Elijah and said, "I'm going to kill you, just like you killed them." Now listen to me. How many of you had great victories in your life? I've had some fantastic victories. Wonderful victories. And we need to concentrate on those victories. But I've also had those times when I've had those great victories and I've had people on my side, people with me, people standing with me, and just one person can come along and say, "I don't like that. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the direction you're going." One person. And you know, I'm human. I go home and I cry on my wife's shoulder. They don't like me. Have you ever been there? Come on. And it magnifies, because one person who said, I don't like you, you start thinking everybody doesn't like you. The whole world is against you. The world no longer likes what you're doing. And you begin to magnify this in your mind, and it takes you to a place of depression, right? If we're not careful. One person can do this to us. If we're not careful, if we're not allowing the Spirit of God to speak to us, if we're not hearing what God has to say on a regular basis in our life, we have to hear Him. I've gone through these things before. I know how difficult it is to receive criticism. You know, when you're a person, you got the kind of personality where you like to please people, and that's me. I'm a people pleaser. I like to please people. And when somebody isn't pleased, that hurts. It's painful. So I begin to focus on that rather than focusing on all the good that God is doing and all the people that are on my side and all the people that are standing with me. Let's see what Elijah did. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. The King James says a juniper. It is a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I'm better than my father's. For am I better than my father's? Take my life. He was ready to die. He had dropped in such a state of depression over this situation that was occurring in his life that he was ready to, he was asking God to kill him. You know, if we're not careful, we will allow the circumstances and the situations in our life to bring us to a point of depression where we want to die. This is all brought about because somebody said, I'm going to get you. Somebody turned their back on him. Somebody said, I don't like you. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This broom tree has a root, and we talked about this last week. The root is very bitter, and maybe even toxic. If you lay around under the broom tree feeling sorry for yourself, bitterness will set in. The root of bitterness will get a hold of you. And it may not just make you sick. It will kill you spiritually. It will take you down. Because what happens is that's what's happening to Elijah here. He is becoming bitter about the fact that God is allowing Jezebel to have the upper hand. God isn't allowing anything, and we'll see that right away. But he has come to the conclusion that God is the one. God's in control of everything, so God's the one that's causing us, allowing this to happen. We cannot allow the root of bitterness to enter in. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. As a pastor, I have to fight the root of bitterness sometimes. Because when it comes to people, people are not going to make you happy all the time. People are not going to do what you want them to do. People are going to do, listen, I do, and I know as pastor, I'm not making everybody happy. I have to come to that conclusion. That's just the way it is. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but sometimes people are offended. Sometimes people are hurt. But we're to love each other anyway. Sometimes people will turn their back on you. Sometimes people feel like I turn my back on them. But we're to love each other anyway. Sometimes people will intentionally stab you in the back. But we're to love them anyway. No matter what. We have a responsibility to walk in love toward each other. No matter what's happening. And if we're not careful, we'll allow this root of bitterness to set in. And it will grow inside of you. And you will come to the point where you become so bitter that you'll even walk away from God. You're crying out to God. Just take my life. It's over. I don't want this anymore. Well, let's look at this and see what Elijah did and how God brought him out of this situation.
In verse 6, well, let's do 5. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. An angel of the Lord came back second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Now here's something that is extremely important that we don't want to miss here. Elijah did something that was very important, that is very important for us. If we feel like bitterness is starting to rise up inside of us, Elijah ran to God, not away from God. He went to the mountain of God. Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. This is the place where Moses received the law. This is a place where God descended in the mountain. The mountaintop is burnt. It still exists today. It's in Arabia. That's where Paul said it was. It's exactly where he said it was. And the mountain of God is there, and it's the top of it is burnt. God is alive and well today, and we can run to God. We don't have to run to his mountain. We can run to him through his son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. And we need to run to our God when we have resentment, bitterness. We're feeling feelings of anger and hate towards somebody. Run to God. Don't run away from him. But here's what the enemy does to us. He tries to separate us from God. He makes us feel like, well, I can't even pray anymore. You've been there. I know you have. I've been there. When I go through these kind of things in my life, I feel like I can't even touch the hem of God. I can't get close to him. He doesn't hear my prayer. But that's a lie from the enemy. The enemy is trying to pull you down. He's trying to get you. He's trying to convince you that God is not listening to you. But that's exactly when God is listening more intently than ever. It's when we're going through these kind of things. Run to him. That's what happened with Elijah. He ran to God. We can run to our God. And when he ran to God, here's some things that happened. Verse 11. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." He felt like he was all alone. He felt like he was the only one left. And yet, he got a personal word from God. He heard from God. And that's what we need to do. We need to run to God when we're in these times of trouble and turmoil and stress, resentment, when the possibility of resentment and bitterness can grow inside of us, we need to run to God and get a personal word from our God. You need to hear a personal word from God. Because that's what will encourage you. That's what will strengthen you. That's what will cause you to be able to rise above this circumstance in your life. We have a group of people that every week we meet, or most weeks, on Monday mornings. These people pray for us. They encourage us. They stand with us.
and they speak into our lives. Now, I've had lots of personal words from God. And when I get a word from God, I hold on to that word. I stand on that word. But sometimes it takes someone to remind me of the word that God has given me. And I have a scripture that I have that I memorized. And it's Joshua 1, 8, 9. And I always quote it together, but here's what happened to me. We were having some struggles, difficulties, just like everyone else. Personal things going on in our life. And my brother Bud called me up and he said, "Pastor, God told me to give you this scripture." And it was Joshua 1, 9. Now, I had not really separated those two scriptures before, but this spoke volumes to me. Because it says, "Have not I commanded you?" Now, first of all, God has given me a command. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, it seems pretty simple, but it was revelation to me. It was a word, and I had that personal word, but God used somebody like Bud to direct me back to it. God will use people to direct you back to the word that God gives you. Listen for it. Hear it. Get a personal word from God. He wants to speak into your life. Second, you got to receive a renewed vision for the future. Verse 15, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Molah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill." God gave him a renewed vision for the future. He ran to God. He got a personal word from God. And in that word was a renewed vision for the future. He realized God had plans for him, for his future. Lamentations 3:26 says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." We need to know that we have hope in our God and salvation in our God. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred. When we have to wait a long time sometimes to see things happening, that's hope deferred. And we get sick in our heart. But if we can stand on it, it'll be like a tree of life when it comes to pass. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Vision. A new vision for the future. That's what he received. A blind man's world is bound by limits of his touch. An ignorant man's world is bound by the limits of his knowledge. A great man's world is bound by the limits of his vision. The vision that we can receive from God. A new vision for the future. Each and every one of us has to have a vision for the future, what God's going to do and planning on doing, what he has spoken to us that he will fulfill in our lives. We have to have a hope for the future. Number 3. Verse 18 says, "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." This is important for us to recognize that when we go through these difficult times, one of the things the enemy will try to do is separate us from the power of the body. Body encouragement, the body, the fellowship. Now, fellowship, when we think about fellowship, it is very important that we come together on Sunday mornings. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. come together and worship God. But our purpose for coming here on Sunday morning is to worship the living God. You know, that's our reason, is that to worship Him and glorify His name. It's not for fellowship, although we can get some encouragement from people. But fellowship comes more from smaller gatherings, or sometimes when we have church picnics, or, you know, things like that. Individual Bible studies, life groups, these are fellowship times. We had our life group last Wednesday, and we always have a Bible study, and I had something prepared, but because of the things that were going on in people's lives, we did nothing but pray for each other the whole time. That's fellowship with the believers. That's fellowship. That's the koinonia that the New Testament talks about. Sharing with each other, difficulties, standing with one another. That is so important that we can catch hold of that. We recognize the importance of it. It's important to gather on Sunday morning, absolutely. But you need more than that. You need a fellowship of believers around you that will encourage you, stand with you, and raise you up when you need it. And the last thing, number four. So, verse 19, it says, "So he departed there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go again. For what have I done to you?' And Elisha turned back, and he went through a great party, killed his oxen, burnt his plow, burnt all his bridges behind him, and went forward to be the prophet that God had called him to be. But here's what I want to get from this. We all need to have people in our life that we're pouring into. You see, you know, this well of water that springs up inside of us is meant to overflow into other people's life. We're supposed to pass this stuff on to others. And that's what Elijah did at this point. God told him, listen, go and anoint this man. Throw your mantle on him. Get him ready. Prepare him. And for a period of time, he spoke into Elisha's life. He taught him the ways of the prophet. He raised him up. He raised up a successor. You know, one of the things that I've noticed about some of the large ministries, TV evangelists and ministries that are very well known, some of the gentlemen are becoming older, and they are choosing successors. Sometimes it's their son. Sometimes it's a son-in-law. Sometimes it's someone that's not even related to them. But they are choosing and preparing these people to go forth in that ministry and lead that ministry into the future. They're handing down. They're handing the mantle down to the next generation. We need to be about doing that in our lives. We need to do it with our children. Preparing them. Loving them. Raising them up. Speaking into their life the things of God. Every day is an opportunity to teach and train your children in the ways of God. Just going on a walk, going out into nature. We took my grandsons fishing the other day. Took him down there. We have a little pond, and we took him fishing, and each one of them caught about four fish. And every time Owen would catch one and I'd help him reel it in, he'd say, he does sign language, but he also uses the words, and he'd say, more, more, more. He liked it. But it was an opportunity. We were able to talk about, you know, God created these fish. And God created the water that they live in, and God created this environment, and it's important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to take care of these things and recognize that God has given us responsibility. you know, we were able to minister some things to them and teach them. And those are invaluable times in their life. Those are times that they're going to look back on and say, you remember when Marshall says this now, but right after you do something with him, he'll say, do you remember when? I mean, you could just have gone fishing with him. And he'll say, you remember when we went fishing? Yeah, we just did that. It's kind of crazy, but he does that. But he will be saying that years to come. You remember when, Pap? Amen. Wow. Remember when. It's so important for us to remember. So important for us to sow that kind of seed into our children and into other people in the future. Let me share some things with you. Susanna Wesley was John and Charles Wesley's mother. She raised many children, and she raised them all to love God. And here's some rules that she had for raising children. Subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. She felt it was her responsibility to teach them about the love of Jesus Christ. Teach him or her to pray as soon as he can speak. Wow, that is great. Give him nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Give him nothing he cries for. Parents, are you hearing this? Because we don't do that. When they throw a fit, we're about trying to get them to shut up, right? Oh, come on, we don't want them to cry. We don't want them to throw a fit. We feel bad about it. But listen, this is a good rule. If they throw a fit, don't give it to them. Only what they will ask politely for. What a great rule. To prevent lying, punish no fault, which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Hold them accountable. Amen. Our nation needs to recognize that. People need to be held accountable. Commend and reward good behavior. Listen, I understand, particularly for some of you mothers, if you're dealing with your children maybe all day, or you're just getting home in the evening, you're having to deal with issues and stuff with your children, it is very difficult not to get so frustrated with everything that they're doing. But stop just looking at all the bad things. Remember to speak good things into their life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's in your power of your tongue. So speak life to them and speak good things to them. Strictly observe all promises you have made to your children. That's good. But beyond our children, we should be nurturing, we should be encouraging, we should be pouring into other people's lives. Paul had a son. Spiritual son. He had many, but one in particular was Timothy. And he called him my son in the faith. And he spoke into his life, and he taught him, and he raised him up to be a leader in the body of Christ. If you are struggling with situations in your life, struggling with bitterness, resentment, you need to find somebody that you can pour your life into. It will change you. Secular and spiritual counselors will all tell you, if you want to overcome depression, find someone else that you can pour your life into, and you'll rise above it. Here's some things that I want to share with you. Every disciple, every person that is a disciple of Christ, needs three types of relationship in their life. Everyone needs a Paul who can mentor him, and change him. He needs a Barnabas that can encourage and instill good things into their life and lift you up. And everyone needs a Timothy, someone that can pour that you can pour into their life. That's important steps in our growth as Christian. Listen, we have mentors that will speak to us. We have encouragers. There are people in the body of Christ that they are called to be encouragers. Amen. And we need those people. And we need to pour into other people's lives as well. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Bitterness. The root of bitterness wants to get inside of every believer. We have to fight against that. You have to stand against it. You have to know that the power of God that has been given to you, the Word of God, has the power for you to overcome any bitterness. Because bitterness will cause you to do crazy things. Bitterness will take you out of the will of God, and you're thinking that you're in the will of God. Bitterness will take you away from relationships that God intended for you to have. Bitterness will conquer and divide. God wants you to be free of that. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's anyone in here who'd like to have prayer for healing this morning, anointing prayer, come forward at this time. Pray with you. Also, if you feel like you're struggling this morning, you know, we all go through these times where, you know, we feel like somebody's done something to us. And that bitterness is trying to rise up, and the resentment toward that individual. It's not something to be ashamed of. You can be ashamed if you walk out of here this morning and you don't deal with it. But you can deal with it. God wants to help you deal with that. So if you feel like you need some extra strength this morning to deal with an issue that's going on in your life, maybe someone's trying to take advantage of you from your perspective, let God touch you, heal you, and help you deal with it. If that's you, just come up, pray with you as well. Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.